Well, it is a blessing. Let's see, I told Brother Greenwald I would turn this on. So I think, yeah, okay. It's great to be with you this morning. And if we were in Japan this morning, you would know, because you would be reminded that it's not Pennsylvania, it's Ohio. And that's a joke, because Ohio is a short way of saying good morning. And so everybody would be saying, Ohio, Ohio gozaimasu, Ohio. And you would all be in here in your stocking feet or in slippers, because you leave your shoes out in the entryway when you come to church in Japan. So it's a different culture. And some of this afternoon, if you're able to be here this afternoon, I don't know, I gave it the name boot camp some time ago, because it's like, the idea is, the purpose of it is to help American people that are so used to living in America and everything that's familiar to you, what would it feel like to go live in another country that is so completely different? And what was it like? I think it's probably somewhat different. It's what the Okados are experiencing living in America. And they've gotten used to it and adjusted to it a lot. But for Mrs. Okada, right, it's still a challenge. Okina, tahenakotosho. And so they are experiencing, at this stage, things that we were feeling as we were trying to learn how to live in Japan. So it's the idea, in a short time, to give you about four different things to just experience, and they're fun, and you won't be crawling in the mud or anything today, okay? It'll be very simple. But it'll be fun, and it'll give you just, you'll be feeling like, wow, this is so different. And it's interesting. But we'll tell more about that later. But I hope you can stay for that. Thank you so much, Pastor, for all the preparation and the prayer that's gone into this. Thank you, Church, for the warm welcome. Even last night as we came, a meal was prepared for us, and we started saying, wow, that banquet hall back there, it looks so Japanese. We felt like we were in Japan, and the Okados were saying that too. And we just thank you. It needs to be bathed in prayer, and we know that you've been praying, and we've been praying, and for months, that as this comes together, that God would bless it in a great way. So I'd just like to share a verse of scripture with you this morning. I will take more time this afternoon in the message time after at the end of the noon meal, more in a way of testimony of how God took our family to Japan. It's His grace. It's amazing. I still really am amazed at how God did it, and why He would choose us, to take us to Japan, and how He has been faithful. And I can just tell you, 33 years is not a testimony to anything great on our part. It's 33 years of the faithfulness of our God. We wouldn't have gone, we wouldn't have stayed, we wouldn't be going back if it wasn't for God and His grace and what He's done in our lives. And we are, I'll share more, just this morning, literally as I was waking up this morning, texts were coming in from Japan, because a missionary couple, a young couple that have been living in our house and taking care of things for us while we've been gone. Today, or yesterday over there, their Sunday, because it's already going into Monday now, very late Sunday, I guess it is here, there. 14 hours ahead of us, so they're almost at midnight in Japan on Sunday night. But they just finished their final Sunday filling in for us in our town, and they preached the last service there, and they are moving on to start a new work in southern Japan, and our daughter and son-in-law will be taking over for the last 3 weeks of October until we get back. So we came to America on this furlough in April, and Lord willing, we will be flying back to Japan on the 30th of this month, because it's October now. And so on October 30th, on a Monday, so about 4 weeks from now, I suppose, we will be getting on a plane to go back to Japan. So we're kind of getting down on the tail end of this. This is our next to last official meeting. We'll be in one more church in the Cleveland, Ohio area next Sunday. So you're on the home stretch of our journeys. But this morning, Pastor, tell me, what time do I need to be done with Sunday school time? Just so I know. 10:30-ish? Okay, that'll give us time to get ready for the morning service. Okay, so that should be plenty of time. In the morning, this session, I want to just, I'll talk more, like I said, about our work in Japan and what the Lord's doing there in other sessions. This Sunday school hour, I want to just share some things with you about some amazing things in the ancient language. And I told Brother Okada this morning, I feel like I should be turning this over to you in Japanese. You can tell these people about your language a whole lot better than I can. But some amazing things in the Word of God and in the history of the Japanese language that actually goes back to the ancient Chinese language. And so we'll look at that in a few moments with some slides and things. But let me share a verse that's just, I like to remind myself of it. You could turn if you'd like to and look. It's a Psalm 100. And just a couple of verses there. It's just a good reminder to us as we come to church. If you're like the average person that is going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday mornings can be a busy time. You're getting up, you're getting dressed, you're showers, washing hair, putting on your Sunday clothes, trying to get breakfast, trying to be on time to church, and sometimes you're running behind, and you come through the doors of the church, and it's like, I'm halfway through the morning service before I'm even beginning to tune in to why I'm even here. I'm thinking about lunch. I'm thinking about the dog that didn't get fed. You know, I'm whatever, you know. And we are singing the songs, and we're not even thinking about the songs we're singing. And it's all designed to be worship. But if we're not careful, we can just go through the motions of worship. But the Lord reminds us, it says here in Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. But it's interesting that the first verse there, verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And that's like coming through the doors of church, walking into the church. And the idea is, as I'm walking through the doors, I'm already thanking the Lord, I'm already praising the Lord and beginning to worship the Lord today. So really, the right kind of worship in the Lord's house on Sunday morning begins at home. As you get up in the morning, as you wake up, as you start your day, as you're heading in. I heard of a missionary in some faraway place in Africa or in a jungle area. I think it was Africa. And the church meeting place was in a grass hut or something in a village. But people that came to worship in this church came from the jungle in all these directions. And this person that was visiting that part of the world, he got up in the morning, and as he was getting ready, he listened and he could hear people singing. And they were coming into church from every direction, out of the jungle, coming to the village clearing to meet. But he could hear singing long before they ever got to church. And they did this. They were entering into the Lord's house with thanksgiving and praise. And I hope that that's what your experience this morning has been. If not, we'll just do a reset right now and have a word of prayer and just ask the Lord for the rest of this day that it can be all about praising him, thanking him for his goodness, his faithfulness. And so let's just have a word of prayer. Father, this morning I thank you so much for the privilege you've given to us to be here on this furlough and to be with this church at this time. We know it was not by accident, and Father, you have orchestrated this and put this together, but as Pastor Madrid said, we would have really no reason, and we would not even be meeting like this if it had not been for you and for your grace and for how you've led in our lives and for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a name which is above every name, and we thank you, Father, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we know that the time is getting short on this earth, and we feel that the timing of our Lord's coming is of course, it's 2,000 years nearer than when Jesus said, redemption draweth nigh. And so, Father, we don't know how much more time we have until we're taken out of this world. There are still multitudes, millions, billions in this world that still have maybe never one time heard that Jesus Christ came to save them. And certainly we meet people in Japan on a regular basis when we're there, not only children, but adults, grandparents, great-grandparents in age, and they will tell us, I have never, ever seen a Bible, let alone heard what's in it. And so, Father, we still have much work to do. We thank you for this privilege, a rare privilege to be with this church, but to also be with a brother and sister that are Japanese, that you have called to go back to their people and to live in that country. And so, Father, all of us in different steps of faith, and I pray that today you will just really, in these next days, just knit our hearts here and help this to be the most profitable conference, not just for fun and food and visiting, but to really understand your heart for missions, your heart for souls that need a Savior, and the means and methods that you use to win people and to bring them to yourself. Teach us now, I pray, that as we look at this Sunday school lesson, that it would be something that would be an encouragement. As we look at our Bibles that we hold in our hands, a book that we can trust from cover to cover, that we can trust that this is not just a man-made product, but it's come from the very mind and heart of God, and amazing truths that we see in it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you one thing real quickly. Pastor mentioned how God has been putting this conference together, and yesterday it was amazing to us how the Lord was, even before we got here, putting this together, because we knew that the Olcados were traveling from Wisconsin coming out this way, and we were making our way from the south and then up into Ohio, and we were in the Cincinnati area yesterday morning. The Olcados, we found out, were actually in the Toledo, Ohio area, and so our paths were, you know, kind of going like this, heading for Mount Joy. And we thought, well, we'll see them when we get there. And so we took off, they took off. We left at 7:45. I think they were leaving at 8:30, from two different places, heading for the same general, you know, meeting place. And we pulled off on the tollway, I-76 in Pennsylvania, because I needed to stop and get gas. And we stopped there, we went in, and our daughters saw some Japanese people, not these people, some other Japanese people. And she said, "Dad, there are Japanese people. Do we have any Japanese tracts?" I said, "Yeah, I think so, in this one little compartment in the car." So she went running out there to get tracts to give to these unknown people that were speaking Japanese. And so that's always fun. And as she was running out to the car, I'm standing inside the rest area building, looking out the windows at Kristen heading back to the car. And I'm trying to see these Japanese people, and I didn't see them, so they were out of sight. And just as I'm watching, I see this man come around a corner. And I thought, "Oh, there's a Japanese. That's Brother Olcado." And he came through the door and he saw me and he's like, "Whoa." And I went, "Hi." And so then our daughters, Katie and Kristen, had found the tracks, and they were talking, and they were fully engaged talking to these Japanese people who were amazed that these Americans could speak Japanese. And so they're talking and fully engaged. And while they're talking, Brother Okado's like, and he walks up behind Katie and Kristen, and he goes like, "I don't know what you said," but he's like, you know, "Hello," and they're like, "Whoa," you know, and these Japanese people are like, "Really?" You know, but so it was really, but the timing of that, you know, if we couldn't have orchestrated that event like that, but God put our paths together, and then we just kind of followed each other. Sometimes I was following him, and sometimes he was following me, but we made our way here, and so God has been preparing the way, and we have no doubt that he's going to do something during this time. So I'd like to just take the time we have left in Sunday school and share something with you. I'm sorry, Mrs. Okado, this is Nikaime. She's seen this before at a ladies' meeting at Falls Baptist Church, but you know, it just amazes me to see. I'll stand, I guess I'll be mostly out of the way over here, and but there, I'd like to just share with you something in the Sunday school hour. It's more of an informative teaching time. And this is just says the kanji, those characters are the words kanji, which are the complicated, those actually are kanji characters. And they're the complicated Chinese characters that are also used by Japanese. And it says Bible truths found in ancient Chinese. And the reason that I bring this up, you say, "Well, I thought you were missionaries to Japan," and we are. But the Japanese written language goes back to the ancient Chinese language. And I'll show you more about Japanese that's different than Chinese. But there are some amazing things. If we look in the Bible, we come to a verse in Psalm 19. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Now, when we talk about God, we're talking about the one true God, the Creator. You have to define God. When you talk to Japanese people, and even today, a lot of American people, and you say something about God, people talk about Jesus. Well, Paul even warned back in the New Testament times about another Jesus, false Jesuses, false Christs, false gods. So you really have to today
home in and define what you're talking about. And that's certainly true about God. But the Creator God, we understand, God the Creator, the heavens declare the glory, the greatness of this God. And it goes on, it says, and the firmament or the sky out there showeth his handiwork. And anywhere you go, the Bible goes on and says, day unto day showeth, uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. What's it saying? You can look out at creation around you, whether you're looking out at the beautiful grass and the sky and the sunset, the sunrise, the northern lights, you know, the stars, the heavens. You can look at these things and see someone made this. A designer made this. With design, there had to be a designer. There are you know, how many of you really believe that when we go back there today, the chopsticks, the cherry blossoms, the Japanese-looking umbrellas, these things, wow, over millions of years, these things just suddenly or slowly appeared. No one believes that. Everyone knows that somebody, and I can't tell you who everyone is that had a part in this, but we walked in yesterday and saw, oh, someone's been doing a lot of work. Someone put this together. It didn't just appear. And we all understand that. And so it says, night into night showeth knowledge. Ancient mariners, people that lived on the sea and the oceans and ships, if the sky's clear, they could navigate before GPS, before any of that stuff, because they could navigate by the constant of the stars and the sun, and they knew direction, and they could actually navigate using that. Well, why? Because it's a constant that's there, and the Creator made these things. And so they show knowledge. Now, it says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I'll say that again. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. As complicated and different from English as the Japanese language is, these truths are found in the speech and language of the Japanese people too. This is truth. And down deep inside the heart of man, every human being knows, even someone who lives out in a remote jungle, missionaries will go into go to a people that have never been touched by the outside world, and they are already acknowledging some great being out there. In the heart of man, they know. And so you look at this world, when you look at a map, this may look a little different to you. It looks very familiar to the Okados. If you look at a map of America, what you'll usually find right in the middle is the United States. And on the right side, you would have the Atlantic Ocean and Europe and Africa. And on the left side, you'd see the Pacific Ocean and Asia and all that. But the Japanese tend to put a map together like this because it puts Japan in the middle, right? And so if I showed you on, you know, here Japan, of course, is right there. So it's right in the middle. If you were from Australia, maybe you would think of the world this way. You're like, that's upside down. Well, it is to you and me, but it may not be to them. It's your frame of reference, where you come from. And so every people have a different way of looking at things, but truth is truth. Now, as we look at the Japanese language, this is, by the way, if you can stay for the boot camp workshop this afternoon, one of the things will be with language. And in a short time that we have, you'll get a chance to learn how to write your name, your first name, so we don't have a lot of time, but your first name you'll be writing in Japanese. And we'll talk about that later. But the language of Japan is a complicated language because it's made up of different parts. The kanji characters, this is, says kanji, and kanji you see on the right, that is the word seisho, which means Bible. It has meaning. And this came from ancient Chinese. In Japan's history, long, long ago, my understanding is they did not have a written language. They spoke their language, but there came a time when they realized we need to be able to write and communicate, but rather than completely reinvent a whole alphabet and language written. Well, China has a language that goes back for 4,000 plus years, their civilization. They had already a well-developed language, and they had picture words, very complicated characters, but these characters have meaning. And so if you look at this kanji character, this left one has the idea of holy, and this one has the idea of a book or something written. And so it's literally a holy writing. And that's how the Japanese describe the word Bible. This is seisho. And so The Japanese language is different than Chinese. How you conjugate verbs, you put endings on words and things that the Chinese language doesn't do it that way. So the Japanese needed more than just these. They had to have a way of shaping words in sentences. So they invented a phonetic alphabet, and that's called hiragana. And it looks like that. It's the same word as the one above it, seisho. It's just written out. And these are like ABCs. This is just S, se, I, sho. And they're just sounds. But when you spell them like ABCs, they make words. And so they, Japanese will use that to put endings on words and things. So it's a complicated language that way. There's another form of the phonetic alphabet. If you write ABCs in English, you know there's block style, like for the letter A, you know, A, and then you can write it the cursive style, the letter A. It's the same letter written two different ways. And that's all that this is. So again, this is se, I, sho, se, I, sho. They're the same thing, just written in two styles. And the katakana characters are written sometimes to give emphasis in Japanese. But the main way they use them is that if anything is non-Japanese, and so other than the Okados, I don't know that we have any other Japanese people here this morning, their names would not be written. Well, sometimes they use the hiragana up above with kanji, but their name Okado will be in kanji. But the Smith name is not, because our name is a foreigner's name. We're outside Japan. So all foreigners, non-Japanese people, so everybody in here except them, your names would be written in katakana. And this name, Brother Okado, would you pronounce this in Japanese the way you would say that name in Japanese?
Yes, Kiristo.
Okay, he just read this word down here. Anybody have an idea what he just said? One more time, together. Okusan to, isshoni, seno.
Yes, Kiristo.
Who thinks they know what they just said? All right, Mrs. Greenwell. Jesus Christ, yes. And so that's how it's pronounced in Japanese, and it's written this way with katakana because Jesus Christ was not Japanese. And so to the Japanese person, anything outside of Japan is written this way as far as names are concerned. So anyway, that's a quick rundown of how the language is made. One other way it's used is the hiragana language is, the hiragana characters are written over the top of kanji like a pronunciation guide. It helps people know how to pronounce things. For example, with names, Japanese, Brother Okado and I were talking about this, Japanese people will name their children, and this is just a brother and sister of a family we know. Their family name is Uehara, and they were dressed up, kind of a fancy thing. He was going into the first grade, and so they dress up and get special pictures taken. And so they came over to our house, and we took some pictures with them. And when parents name their children, they will pick a kanji that has a meaning to it that they like. And so Mr. and Mrs. Okay, now Mrs. Okado, 奥さんはもう考えてるでしょう. でも今回ご主人. Okay, so Brother Okado, this is the dilemma, even for Japanese. This is kanji and it has meaning. Brother Okado, what do these two kanji mean? Or just the meaning? Imi. Roughly. By itself, hidare no mono. Warm Lord. Yeah, on the left it's like Lord. The word we would use for Lord, that's that kanji on the left. And the right side is like warm, like the temperature is warm. So what did the parents mean when they chose that? I'm not sure. But how would you read this name? Yeah, Shuda, maybe. Okay, he's Japanese, and he doesn't know how to pronounce this boy's name because Japanese parents, maybe this is more recent with young families, but they pick kanji that has meaning, and they like the meaning, but they give it the pronunciation that they like, and it's completely different. So here is how you pronounce his name, brother. How do you say that?
Subaru.
You know the car, Subaru? That's how his name is pronounced, Subaru. But you would never know it from looking at the kanji, okay? And his sister, okay, she has a cute name, and so this is the, so maybe the left side is heart, like the, not your thumper, but like with all my heart, that kind of thing. And the right side is like to bind or to tie together. So maybe dad and mom thought we want to tie our hearts to the hearts of our children or, you know, our little girl. But how do you pronounce her name? What do you think, brother?
Shinketsu.
So, Shinketsu, yeah. He's reading the literal Chinese reading for how you would normally pronounce these words. But this is how her name is pronounced. Miyu. Completely different. And he would not know. And he's Japanese. So guess what? Us foreigners, we got a tough time. All right? And so Japanese people, they don't know how to pronounce this. And so they have to put the hiragana character above the name, which tells them how to pronounce it. And they, so anytime you fill out a name on a chart, you go to the hospital, or you go to a doctor, you go anywhere to fill in your name, for Japanese, they have to write that pronunciation above it. Otherwise, you don't know how to pronounce it. And I was thinking of this one time, and for Americans, this is kind of how it would work. Let's say that a young family has a baby girl, and the baby girl, they decide to spell her name R-E-D. Okay, Ezekiel, how would you pronounce her name? You would think so, right? That makes sense, her name? No, her name is Scarlet. See, that's what they're doing. They decide to spell it one way, but we're gonna pronounce it a completely different way. And you wouldn't know that unless they wrote S-C-A-R-L-E-T-T over R-E-D. And that's kind of what they're doing here. But anyway, interesting language. Now, what I really want to look at with the time we have left, as you look at kanji, the reason I bring this up is to go back to the Bible truths. People will tell you that the Bible, whether you're in Japan, whether you're in America, there will be people that tell you, you believe this book because it's your religion. I've had doctors that I try to talk to about God as a creator. And this doctor is an educated oral surgeon. And he comes to English class. And Dr. Suetsugu, we've taught him, I've known him for years. And I've witnessed to him and tried to share the gospel with him. And he just, the problem is, like in America, people have been told the lie of evolution, that we are here and we exist by accident. There is no creator. There is no designer. It's just all by happenstance and chance. And there is no God. And literally, that in six literal days, the creator made this world, this universe. They'll say, no. The reason you believe that is because your religion of Christianity tells you to believe that. But if you had the education that I have, you would know that this book may be a book of moral teachings and religious teachings that give you comfort and help you maybe at the end of life to believe in something. But when it talks about science, it's not accurate. When it talks about history, it tells things that didn't really happen. And they'll tell you that there's a whole lot of fiction and untruth in the Bible mixed with good moral teachings. But the Bible declares itself to be the Word of God. And when you and I look at this book, well, of course, we believe by faith. We don't have to have all these other things. But it's fun to see that, you know what? As we begin to look in this world, we see truth that we find that completely agrees with this book. And the Chinese people go back to just after the flood. Brother Schultz at Falls Baptist Church was teaching a Bible geography course on Sunday evenings. And he shared something that really was helpful to me. Looking at history, of course, we're 2023, about 2,000 years after the time of Jesus Christ, A.D., right? Well, we go back to B.C., we go back to zero, and then you start going back in time, something B.C. If you go back in 500-year segments, you go back to major events in Bible history, 500 B.C. takes you back about to the time of the prophet Daniel. Okay, and then you go back another 500 years back to 1000 BC, you get back to about the time of King David in Israel's history. You go back another 500 years, you get back to about the time of Moses, 1500 BC. You go back to 2000 BC, 500 years more, you're back to the time of about the time of Abraham. And then you go back another 500 years to 2500 BC, you're now back to the time of Noah and the flood. So if you do the math, about 4,500 years ago from now You're back to the time roughly around the time of the flood and Noah's Ark. And after they came out, eight people came out of the ark, the world was repopulated. And in those early days of the world being repopulated, the nation, the civilization of China developed. And their history and civilization is unbroken from now all the way back to like early after the flood. So in their culture, in their language, if the Bible is really true, you would think you could find things from the Bible in their story, in their language, and you do. So we're going to look at that with the rest of the time we have. If this is a very simplified way of looking at it, but this is the kanji, and it just means a person. It's pronounced various ways, but it's a kanji for a person. And there's another kanji, and different kanji are built on that. And this one is a kanji that just means light, like sunlight or light from the sky. And you have like the idea of a person with light shining off. And of course, if you study the Bible, you know that in the beginning when God created man, that it says that the man and the woman in the Garden of Eden were naked and they were unashamed. Well, it's because I believe they were clothed in the light of God. They were made in his image, and God is light. He has that glory that's shining. I think their clothing was just glorious light. They didn't need clothes. And then when they sinned, that light vanished, and they were suddenly naked, and they hid themselves. But man with light shining from him. There's another kanji that has a variation. This is interesting. Again, you have that part at the bottom that perhaps is the idea of a person. Two lines over it was the number two. And if you write Japanese numbers with kanji characters, the number one is one line, the number two is two lines, the number three is three lines. We're going to practice that in boot camp this afternoon of what room you go to, one, two, or three. It's real easy to remember. So you've got two people, and then you have like a roof over them. And this is the kanji that means complete. You know the story in the Bible where God made man in his image, and he made all these animals, male and female, male and female. People need to understand that today, right? Male and female. God made them in the beginning, male and female. And that's his design. And then he made man, but there was no female, only a male. And God made this man, and Adam was given the task to name all these different creatures, and he named them, and there was Mr. and Mrs. Elephant, and Mr. and Mrs. Camel, and Mr. and Mrs. Dog, you know, but there was no Mrs. Person. And God said, it is not good that the man be alone. I will make a help meet or fitting for his needs. And God made a woman and brought her to him. And husbands, understand this. When God brought that wife to Adam, God completed him, and God gave him what he needed in a companion. And so the word for complete is two people under a roof. Is that just a coincidence? I think it's interesting. Here's another one. This is pretty amazing. Maybe you've seen or heard about this before. This is the kanji that just means a ship. And it's made up of left and right parts. The left side is, I don't think I show it breakdown, I don't think. Maybe I did. No, okay, let's go back. I think I can get there to it, maybe. Okay. Jump ahead, okay. All right, back to ship. So it's a left side and a right side. The left half all by itself is basically a boat. It can be written that way. It's a simple term for a boat. The right side has this, and it's not people because the lines have separated. And this is the number eight. The two that looks sort of like that person one, but it's separated. That's the number eight. And on the bottom, it has like a square. That's a kanji for mouth. But it also can describe a way of counting people. The word for population in Japanese is the people kanji with the mouth kanji. It's called jinko. And many times you wives will talk about, oh, you know, in my house I got so many mouths to feed. Right? And you're talking about how many people there are. And so here you've got eight mouths or eight people on a boat. And this is the kanji for ship. Well, you know the story of Noah? And the flood, how many people were on the boat? The Bible tells us specifically. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. Eight souls that were saved, right? And is that just a coincidence? I don't think so. We had a really interesting experience on our last furlough in 2016. We were in a church in Rochester, Minnesota, that we visited from time to time. And there was a Japanese lady that was that came to that church. Her husband was an American, and I forget how they first met, but she was Japanese, and she was saved later in life, became a Christian. She grew up with her Japanese language, but she began to read the Bible in Japanese. And she will find kanji characters that agree with things in the Bible, like Noah, eight people on a boat. She came up to me one Sunday, and she said, "Brother Smith, I found another one." And I said, "Another what?" She said, "Another kanji that's just amazing. It's just, it fits something in the Bible." She said, "You know this kanji?" And she showed it to me, and I couldn't remember what it was. And she said, "It's the kanji for crazy or insane. The word for rabies, kyokembyo, right?" And the word kyokembyo is this first kanji, and then the second kanji is a dog, and the third kanji is sickness. And so it's the kanji, it's truly the mad dog disease, and that's what they used to call rabies. And but this is the kanji that means crazy, out of your mind, insane. And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Well, look at the parts of it. There's two parts, left and right, to that kanji." And I was trying to remember my Japanese, and she said, "The left part has this common thing. If you look at these other kanji, all of them have the left side being the same. And they have the idea, this is a cat, that's a raccoon, and you got a monkey, and you got a wolf. And all of them have different kanji, and they're all pronounced differently, but they all have a common part of the kanji, which means," see, that's all, it's there with all those there, "and these all have beast," as I went forward and jumped to. But that part of it means beast. Okay, so the left half of this kanji was beast, but the right half, what is it? You've got a beast, but the other half is what? Well, that kanji all by itself looks like this, and it means a king. So, the kanji for insane, crazy, out of your mind is a beast-like king. Why? And then this lady, she said, "I was reading in the book of Daniel." And if you know your Bible, you know there's a story about a king, a very famous king, probably the most famous king in all the world at that time. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. And he was the king of Babylon, which was today Iraq area, and the Babylonian Empire. Israel became slaves. The book of Daniel was written during this time. And the king of God used, by the way, don't worry about what's happening in government. We all get discouraged when we listen to the news and we see government leaders doing what they're doing in this country and other countries. And it can be discouraging if you focus and spend a lot of time thinking about what you see. God is in control. And in a day when Israel as a whole nation, God's people, had rebelled against God and had turned their backs on God, and God sent prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah to warn his people, and they wouldn't listen. And so God had to spank his nation, his people, and he sent them into captivity for 70 years. And in the Bible, this man, in one passage, God is talking and he says, "My servant, Nebuchadnezzar." He was an ungodly king. He didn't love God at all. And yet God was in control. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And he can turn it just like the rivers of water, any way he wants to. And that king, he didn't know he was God's servant. He thought he was doing his thing. He thought he was doing his agenda, building his kingdom. And so he was a very proud man. And the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he couldn't understand the meaning of the dream. And he called for Daniel, God had shown that he could give Daniel that meaning. And he said, "What? This is my dream. What does it mean?" And Daniel said, "God is giving you a warning, O king. The creator God, the king of kings, is telling you to humble yourself before him. He is the creator. And if you will not humble yourself before your creator, he's going to take your kingdom from you. And you're going to be driven out of your kingdom until seven times pass, 7 years. And you're going to go out and you're going to become like a wild beast. And you're going to lose your mind and go insane. And your hair is going to grow long like a mane of a horse. And you're going to have your fingernails are going to grow like claws of an eagle, and you're going to eat grass like an ox. You're going to be like an animal until God is through teaching you a lesson, and then he'll restore your kingdom to you." And the king just scoffed at this whole thing. And one day the Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar went out, and he looked out over his kingdom, And he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? And we know the story where how he had raised up even a great big image of to worship him. It was all about him. And there was a voice from heaven that said, the kingdom is departed from thee. And in a moment, he became a maniac, lost his mind, and exactly as God told him would happen, he became a beast. And for 7 years, he lived like this. Now, you talk about the mercy of God. Can you imagine a world leader, a president, a prime minister, a governor, a mayor, the county sheriff, whatever, chief of police, who goes out of their mind crazy for 7 years, and it's very public, the whole world knows this has happened, and then ever expect them to hold office again? Just not going to happen, is it? And yet, this is exactly what God did. God restored the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar to him. His mind came back to him, and when he did, he was humbled, and he was restored. God, in his mercy, restored him. I believe, personally, that we're going to meet this man in heaven. The last thing we read about him is a testimony, and this is what he had to say. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he's able to abase. Now I'm going to run ahead for the sake of time quickly. There's a couple more I want to show you. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China. He was an Englishman. He went to China, and he would use the language of the Chinese people to teach them Bible truth. This is a kanji for a sheep. It could be used for a lamb with a little variation to it. And this is a kanji that means self. Okay, so like myself, yourself. He would show them, if you put those two kanji together, they form another kanji. And complicated looking kanjis are just combinations of smaller kanji. And so those two together on the left become this one on the right. And that one on the right is the kanji for righteous. Righteous. And he would tell them, if you're going to stand before God and be righteous, and he will allow you into heaven, you have got to put self under the Lamb. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he would teach it to them in their own language. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he used the Chinese language to the Chinese people to show them in their own language. This is the kanji character for God, how they would write it. In Japanese, we say kami. The Chinese, there are variations, shen, xin, jin, different ways of pronouncing it. But it looks like this. You could take, with a slight variation of font, it'll look like that. And so it's made up of two parts, left and right. If you look at the left half, it's this, and this part means, and then there's a right half. The left half means reveal. The right half means speak or communicate. A Japanese man who's not even a Christian one time said to me, why? We have Shinto religion, which teaches that there are all these different gods out there, that we can't even count them. There are so many gods. These gods do not communicate anything to us. They don't teach us anything. They don't reveal anything to us. We are just supposed to pray to them, hoping that they hear us, but they don't tell us anything. Why do we use a kanji character to describe God as one who reveals and communicates when the gods of Shinto don't do that? And then he said, but your God, the God of the Bible, is like that. He has revealed things to you. He has communicated to you. And that's our God. And so even in their language that way. And so think of this with me. God, our Creator, the true and living God, has revealed himself to man through many different ways. Through his power of creation, through his prophets, he would send men with a message. God said unto Isaiah, or God said unto Daniel, and then he had to speak. Even Moses as a prophet, God would speak to Moses and he said, now tell the people this. And God would send a man. And then his person, of course, Jesus. But think about it with me. If all we had was this much, today in 2023, you and I would not know this God. All you would know is, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. General revelation that someone out there made this, because you've never met a prophet. You've never met face to face Jesus Christ. He left this world 2,000 years ago. You've got to have something more. You've got to have his program, his plan, the Bible. If we did not have a book that God has given to us and preserved, that we can have and read with our eyes, we would never know about anything other than just his power. We wouldn't know about his prophets. We wouldn't know about the person of Jesus Christ. And God has revealed to us, so God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. You and I, human people, and people all around you that you know, are seeking. They are. They're seeking for things. They're seeking for happiness. They're seeking for love. They're seeking for joy. They're seeking for contentment. They're seeking for meaning in life. They're looking for a feeling. They're looking for lots of things. But the Bible tells us that no man seeketh after God, because he's holy. And when you come to know God, we had a Japanese lady that came to church services for a long time, and she was not a Christian. She would come at the invitation of some Christians that did come to our church, and she liked the music. She liked the friendliness of the Christians. She liked the atmosphere of the church service and just the warmth, all these feelings, kimochi, you know, that she would feel. She liked all of that. She liked even singing, and she liked a lot of the Bible teachings about the love of God. But after a time, she quit coming to church for the same reason that a lot of people quit coming to church here if the church preaches the Word of God, because the preacher started talking about sin and about sin separating us from our God. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned our own way. And God is going, the wages of sin is death and judgment. And that began to convict her. And she started feeling tsurai, right? I don't like going to church because I get this feeling that I'm going to be judged. And you have to deal with that. And so when it comes to that, people quit seeking. They don't want anymore because I have to face the sin in my life and that I need a Savior. But isn't it wonderful that when you and I were not seeking the Lord, he was seeking us? And long before I was seeking anything about the Lord, God was putting people in my life to seek and to save me. And, you know, the Japanese, if I was going to go to anywhere in the Bible and begin preaching, use a Bible with a Japanese person, many times I will go to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Shito no hataraki sho, junana sho. Paul was in Athens, in Greece, and he saw idols everywhere, even to an unknown God. And the people were given wholly to idolatry, and they worshipped in ignorance. He says, you know, you're worshipping to an unknown God. He whom you worship in ignorance, I'm going to declare to you who this God is. And then he describes the true and living God in the rest of Acts 17. And in that chapter, he says that they should seek the Lord, if haply, or perhaps they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. That sounds like a blind person, doesn't it? Groping about when... Some of you can relate to this when maybe you didn't wear glasses when you were a child, but in your adult years you started getting older and your eyes started getting weaker and you had to get glasses. You finally had to just do it because I can't read, I can't see without them. And so you get yourself your glasses, but you're not used to wearing glasses except sunglasses. And so you find yourself kind of sometimes, you know, kind of doing this thing. And you're walking around and maybe you can see fine until you have to read. Then you go to read something and like, where do I put my glasses? And you're checking everywhere in the house, walking around trying to find your glasses. And finally, someone either points at you like, hello, or you like, oh man, they were there the whole time. Right? And I'm looking for them. I'm trying to find them because I can't see without them. And they're right here. And it's like, God is here. And yet men are groping about in darkness trying to find whatever they think God is. And God had to come seeking for us. And he did. And so praise the Lord, we have a Savior. But isn't it wonderful that you didn't have to have these things today to know that your Bible is true? But I'm telling you, in an ancient language, probably the oldest language in the world today of a people that are still existing and talking this language, the Chinese and the Japanese that came out of it, Bible truth is found in that ancient language because this book came from God. You can trust every word of it. Father, this morning, thank you for this Sunday school hour, and thank you for the people that have chosen to be here this morning, and I pray now as we go into the morning worship service that as we realize that you came to seek and to save the lost when we didn't know you, You knew us, and yet you still loved us, and you sought us out. And each one of us that are here this morning that know Christ as Savior can think back to people that you used in our lives to bring us to an understanding of who you are. Father, thank you for the opportunity to go to Japan and to tell the Japanese people about the same Creator, the same Savior, and the same gospel. It doesn't matter where we go in the world, human beings are sinners that need a Savior. And we thank you that your truth goes into every speech, every language. And we thank you and pray that you'll bless this morning, this afternoon, this week, and do a work in all of our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name.